para bailar la bamba.
So organic. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of So Organic. So sorry we've been MIA.
We're not sorry.
Oh, Perry's not sorry. I am sorry. These podcasts have kind of been a way for me to kind of process and document the things that I am going through and that the world is going through. So for me, it's kind of therapeutic. But I think these podcasts kind of stress Perry out.
Yeah, and no. I think when I'm really busy, it stresses me out.
You're always really busy.
I am always really busy, actually, yeah.
But at the end of every podcast, we always talk about, like, man, we love doing this.
Oh, yeah. I love doing it, but I have to be in the right mindset. If I'm stressed out about something and I'm going into this podcast, it, like, amplifies the stress, right?
Yeah.
And so, So it's basically just an amplifier of the stress that I'm already feeling.
Yeah.
Because it's just another thing I have to do when I'm busy. And, yeah. So that's why today is great, because I don't feel stressed. I don't feel like, I don't know, I just want to do this. So.
Well, good. I just fed Perry lots of good food, trying to get him in the mood to do
huge a pizookie, podcast. I think is what it's called, right?
Yeah, pizookie.
Pizookie. Good stuff. Sarah makes great pizookies. She's been cooking a lot lately, actually, and it's bacon.
How I cope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like good stuff. I like it. You should get friends like that.
Shout out. Well, anyways, today we're going to talk about nature and the healing properties that come from nature. And I think it was like a month and a half ago, I went on this rather strenuous hike. And after that, I realized I wanted to do a podcast that talked about nature and the different ways and capacities and characteristics that it has to help heal us physically, mentally, spiritually. So that's what we're kind of do today. Perry and I did like actual research today. We looked up peer-reviewed research articles.
You might think that, you know, Sarah being the Washington witch that she is, that this is all just like pulled out of nowhere, like witch theory and like
witch theory.
But no, I was like, you know, Sarah, I could see this going really into like a very theoretical term world that is a place of hope and joy and rainbows.
Hope and joy
and
rainbows.
Tree hugging, yes. Yeah, so I was like, oh, let's do some research on this this time, because I have been reading a lot of books lately, and the books that have stuck out to me the most and have been the most valuable to me are those books that have a lot of research done and where they quote research and findings of other people and share that knowledge with other with their audience. And so I was thinking, you know, maybe we should put a little bit of research into it so we can bring something interesting, something concrete that other people have already distilled for us to the table. So yeah, that's what we're doing today. Let's dive right in there. So one of the things, something I would like to start this conversation off with is something I read that really changed my view on something I've been thinking about for a long time. So what I call it is the sandwich effect, or a sandwich moment.
Okay, is it as tasty and delicious?
Yeah, well, the sandwich is, and I love sandwiches, and I used to be completely obsessed with sandwiches, but for a while, I would always take a sandwich with on hikes that I did.
That's what I took when I went on my hard hike.
Yeah, and there's like this moment in every hike where you either get to peak or you have a great view, and it's just like you feel like all your problems and your life seems so small all of a sudden. It's like everything shrinks and the world opens up in the process. And I call those sandwich moments because they're like moments that where you really feel, you feel big and validated and for some reason also really small. But the thing the reason why I call it sandwich moment is because I believe the only thing that can make that moment better is to have a sandwich with you.
It's a sandwich!
And so it's a sandwich moment. And, I mean, you can experience sandwich moments in all different, like, environments where you really feel like you shrink and the world around you opens up and you feel connected with something. And the thing that I read that really stuck out to me, that kind of put the sandwich moment in a little bit of context for me, was something I read in David Brooks's book, The Second Mountain. I've already mentioned this before. Everyone that knows me has probably, I've already had a conversation with them about it and told them they're like, probably harassed them to read this book. But there's one in the introduction, there's one paragraph that talks about this, and it talks about joy and how we can experience joy. And it says, joy tends to involve some transcendence of self. It's when the skin barrier between you and some other person or entity fades away and you feel fused together. Joy is present when a mother and a baby are gazing adoringly into each other's eyes. When a hiker is overwhelmed by beauty in the woods and feels at one with nature. When a gaggle of friends are dancing deliriously in unison. Joy often involves self-forgetting. Happiness is what we aim for on this first mountain. So, and then joy is a byproduct of living on the second mountain. So that doesn't really matter, that last part. But I really, that stuck out to me, and he mentions it later in the book as well, that the skin barrier between us and someone else or something else fades away or becomes thin in those moments. We feel connected with something, and that's true joy. And that happens to me all the time when I'm out in nature and I climb a peak or I do something hard or I go climbing or I just hike and I'm in nature and I see a great view. My problems seem to shrink and I feel connected to something bigger. I feel connected to the world around me and to my planet. And it's a weird feeling. And I think a lot of people that have spent time in nature have felt that before and feel the healing and the I don't know. It's just this great feeling of peace and clarity that just comes.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I love it. And so, yeah, that's kind of the introduction. That's something, a reason why I've been thinking about this topic more. And then Sarah had that and that experience hiking and wanted to talk about it more. So we, yeah, here we go.
Here we go. So, okay, Perry, I'm curious though, when you go hiking, What kind of sandwich do you pack?
Oh, what kind of sandwich? Well, different kinds of sandwiches, you know.
Like, are you a peanut butter and jelly? Or are you like a lunch meat with cheese and lettuce?
That's when I'm feeling really lazy, is a peanut butter and jelly. When I'm like, I forgot to pack a sandwich. I need to pack something real quick. And I don't feel like buying all the ingredients or I don't have them. Okay. Then I have peanut butter and jelly. Okay. But other than that, I always get like, you know, some crusty bread if you can, like a sub bread, like crusty baguette kind of style or something like that.
Like a hoagie?
Yeah. And because then it doesn't get soggy, you know, when you put a sandwich, you put stuff in there and then you put it in your backpack and then it gets soggy.
But I kind of liked smushed sandwiches.
Yeah, but they yes and no. Better. But the crunch is good. It's healthy.
It's a good crunch. It's healthy.
It's a good crunch. So, yeah, I get the crunchy one. And then, yeah, just tomatoes, a lot of lettuce. I love lettuce. Mm. And then, you know, some meat. Of some sort, like chicken, and then you know, some mayo, some mustard, and
have you ever put barbecue sauce on your sandwiches?
I have, but I don't like it as much.
Oh, okay.
I like the I'm just kind of a basic mayo mustard guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah. On that note,
I just had to know, but as Perry was talking, I was reminded of this quote that I found earlier that I feel kind of encapsulates the idea that he was trying to convey. And I can't really pronounce who this quote is by, but their first name is Gretel. Oh, you might be able to know. Elric? It might be German.
Elrich in German. Elrich.
Okay.
Gretel Elrich.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm Gretel Elric. Anyways, not the female name, right? Gretel? Okay, yeah. So she said that everything in nature invites us constantly to be what we are. And I feel like when Perry was talking about when he you get to that great overlook, you get to your destination, or you get to a great viewpoint, you feel big, you feel empowered. But also at the same time, you feel so small, like as you look around and you're like, I'm just this tiny dot in this vast of nature and mountains and trees. And I think that's what we are. We are so small yet so big. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of the scriptures that tell us that we are less than the dust of the earth. However, we know that our potential is infinite, mm-hmm. that we are heirs to the most powerful being in the universe. And so for me, when I'm in those incredible vistas, I also get that seemingly contradictory perspective and feeling. But I think it kind of just goes along with that quote that when we're in nature, it reminds us of what we are.
Yeah, and that we are a part of something bigger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot. There's something that I thought was really interesting that I read up on in one of the articles I read. And let's see. It's an article by, there's a bunch of people, smart people, that were involved in this.
Researchers.
A lot of researchers. A lot of smart people. And it's called Healthy Nature, Healthy People. Contact with Nature as an Upstream Health Promotion Intervention for Populations. There we go. Wow.
Okay. Populations.
Yeah. So in this article, they talk about how we used to – I mean, urbanization is something really new to humankind. Like that the majority of people live in one spot that is created and controlled by humans that – you know, visually as well as socially, everything is like controlled. And we're in an environment in this bigger cities where we don't really see a lot of nature. We're not surrounded by nature a lot. It's created so that we don't have to be surrounded by nature, right? We're in buildings all the time. It helps us be more productive and shielded from outside influences like weather and other things. And that's really something that we haven't adapted to quite yet. And we've been kind of taken away from our natural habitat in rural areas. And we're still coping, learning to cope with that. And a lot of problems are arising in health and mental health and as a result from that. I think that's really interesting that's a thing that we are becoming more aware of right now. As we see the rate for depression rise over the last century, like by 5%. A century ago, it was the illness depression constituted 10% of all like disease, basically was like part of the disease that prevented people from working, from being efficient in their day-to-day lives was depression. And that has actually risen in the last decade to 15%. So it's rising pretty quickly and pretty drastically. And they believe that part of that is due to the fact that we do not surround ourselves by nature anymore. And so, yeah. And so there's something really interesting that it said in this article is that as we connect with nature, there's a few things that they found in experience and in testing groups that that nature, just some benefits that come from being in nature. They mentioned that, let's see, let me try and find the place. Where is that? That viewing natural scenes can have an influence on testing for students. Students that have a view of nature while they take a test, they score like noticeably higher. In addition, in prison environments, they realize that prisoners that have a window that faces nature are more likely or less likely to experience symptoms of stress, where like irritable bowel movements or illnesses, headaches, and they have fewer sick calls. In addition, they found that, what else was there?
Guys, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it blew my mind, some of the things that they were able to pinpoint. Oh, higher level of job satisfaction. People that lived close to nature and a lot of trees and flowers, they were surrounded by it. They worked better. They performed better at work and had higher work satisfaction, which I thought was also cool. You know, there's a business application in this as well. There's like a actual profit to be made off of this idea of including nature more in our society.
Okay, that reminds me of another quote. And this is a popular person that we all know. And I'm looking at this word and I cannot pronounce it. Perry, how do you pronounce this person? He's a well-known philosopher. What? How do you pronounce it?
Hypocrisy or hypocrisy? Hypocrisy? Oh, gosh. Hypocrisies. I don't know.
This is so embarrassing. I can't.
I know. Yeah, same. But when I read it,
it looks like Hippocrates, but that's not. I sound so unintelligent right now. We're looking up how to pronounce.
Hypocrypher.
No. No. Okay. We have to look this up.
I don't know.
No. Okay. But this is a really great quote, but
you feel bad quoting a guy you can't pronounce his name?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Wait, is this going to tell us?
Maybe.
Hang on. An ad. Okay.
Well, in the meantime, let me point out one more thing that came from this study and this article. Is that they realized that that nature could have an impact on the sympathetic nervous system and decrease blood pressure and heart rate by making studies on people driving in certain situations. Heart rate usually increases. All these things increase during driving. But if they did that in nature, it would decrease that. And there's other things that they found as well that prove that nature would have an effect like that.
That's insane. Okay, guys, I feel so embarrassed that I can't remember how to pronounce. Okay. It's not making any sense.
Hippocrates.
There we go. Oh my gosh, we're so uncultured.
Hippocrates. I'm so sorry.
English hard language.
It is hard. Okay, that is so embarrassing that I could not remember how to pronounce that, but I couldn't not give him credit.
See, in German, it's so much easier. You just read it. Everything is pronounced the way you read it.
Well, I didn't write the English language.
Harder, I feel like.
Well, welcome to America. Anyways, this is what he said. He said, nature itself is the best physician. And I feel like from the research articles that Perry and I have been looking at, I mean, all those positive effects that Perry just read. And then in a study that I was looking at, this is crazy. Okay, so this study has to do with the impact of being outside. And there's this certain chemical, another word I can't pronounce, phytoncide, that's how I would pronounce it. But this chemical is expelled from trees, and that this chemical has an impact on the natural killer cell. Now, if you don't know what a natural killer cell, it's part of the immune system, and it's an intracellular anti-cancer. Oh, wait, no, that's a different part. Sorry, we are all over the place, my friends.
So much information.
Anyways, it essentially helps your immune system kill the bad stuff. And it also takes part in killing those cells that initially want to become cancerous cells.
So they're actually cancer.
Yeah, and so natural killer cells are a very important element to our immune system. And this study found that being exposed to this chemical that I can't pronounce, but it's spelled phytoncide, being around this tree and this chemical increased or enhanced a human's natural killer cell function, essentially helping them, their body, be better at killing cancerous cells. Helping them have a stronger immune system. I mean, aside from all the hippie stuff that I would much rather talk about of the impact of nature, it is science is showing us right here that it is physically improving our body's response to disease.
Yeah, something else in that same article that I thought was really interesting is that they measured people's like urine adrenaline before and after experiencing a longer period of nature of some sort.
Yeah, being exposed to this chemical.
Or that chemical, exactly. And they realized, like, it's almost went down by, like, 10%. I can't remember. But it went down drastically, like, it measurably went down. So your adrenaline doesn't kick in as much, which, I mean, is obviously a benefit because adrenaline kicks in a lot of fight or flight and other instincts that cause stress. Something else from the other article that I was mentioning earlier that it mentioned in regards to hormones is that we undergo stress and natural spaces offer a therapy for that. And it says, for instance, calming nature sounds or even outdoor silence can lower blood pressure levels and the stress hormone cortisol, which calms the body's fight or flight response. So that's pretty awesome. Like, your fight or flight response literally goes down just from the sound or the lack of sound in nature, which is super cool. My roommate, Diego, he actually, a lot of the times, he'll fall asleep to, like, nature sounds. He'll, like, put it on his phone and he'll fall asleep, and he said he sleeps a lot better and he wakes up a lot less stressed and his mind's a lot calmer.
If any of you have an Alexa...
Yeah, he does it with Alexa.
The babbling brook sound setting. I went and visited my aunt and uncle in Colorado, and we're just a sound machine family. Like, our extended family, like, everyone has sound machines that go on at night. Like, yeah. My mom likes to listen to the ocean.
It's a loud house.
It's a loud house, especially at family reunions. You have, like, there's, like, crickets in one room and ocean in another room. But I was at my aunt and uncle's house, and I, like, every night, because me and a bunch of cousins were sleeping in the basement, my uncle would say, Alexa, play Babbling Brook. And so Babbling Brook on Alexa is...
Someone's going to be listening to this, and their Alexa's going to go off and start playing Babbling Brook.
Hey, Alexa, start playing Babbling Brook.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great. But yeah, so we have all this research out there that's going on right now, and I think it's pretty interesting because, I mean, you'd think... I mean, when I think about these sort of things, like hugging trees and all this stuff, you know, I would think, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of hippies that just want to, you know, be one with nature and feel like they're, like good people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But...
And so, but the thing is, in the last 10 years, even 20 years, research has really skyrocketed on these things because people have realized that this could literally be a way of preventing certain disease... from occurring. It's very slow and it's very over time kind of a thing, but studies have shown if you spend 2 hours in a given week, it can be separated in a different days, but if you spend 2 hours a week out in nature in a park or whatever, wherever, that will have a pretty drastic influence over how you feel, how healthy you are, and just your health perception of yourself. And also that will lead to health benefits as well, like faster healing and other things like that. So I guess governments and researchers are coming to the realization that really creating nature places like parks and preserving nature and encouraging people in cities to go to parks and... and give them access to that, it can actually be very beneficial to the country as a whole, seeing that they will have less expenses for healthcare, people will feel better about themselves and their workplace and their country, and it really just improves health all around of a nation. And so that's really what a lot of these researchers are geared towards, is helping people and governments understand that this can be used as an effective healthcare method.
And the article that Perry was referencing, he talked about being in nature can help decrease cortisol levels. Cortisol, stress hormone, prolonged levels of that in your body have a negative impact on your immune system as well. I've learned that in, we've talked about it in several, like I've talked about it in my health psychology class. I've talked in my biology class. I've talked about it in my family stress and coping class. So it's just interesting to hear that as we remove ourselves from the outdoors, we're going to have more cortisol and weaker immune systems. But the more time we spend outside, the stronger we can build our immune systems, as well as our connection, a healthy connection to ourselves and to something bigger than ourselves.
And look outside of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, we have to. And I kind of want to circle back to what we were talking about at the beginning, that and I love research. I love research. I love science, because to me it shows me that there are various locations and places and methods that we can find truth, but truth has one source. And like I said previously, I'd rather would prefer to talk about all the hippie natural things that I've experienced, but it's been cool to look at the research and show that things that I've experienced in my life are proven through research and study. And I think for me, the greatest healing property that nature has is reminding me that there is something bigger out there, and that that something bigger is aware of me and is helping me.
Yeah. And that yeah, I really love that point that, like, there's something bigger out there. And I think there are certain moments in our lives where we can feel that. Like, there's a reason why in the scriptures, a lot of the times it mentions that people went to the mountains or went into the forest or something, like, went out into nature and to connect with God. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes when we go out into nature, we incidentally connect with something bigger than ourselves. We feel a part, we feel nature and what it's doing. And in the scriptures, it says that nature worships God, and like that
perfectly obeys it.
And it perfectly obeys God. And when we surround ourselves with things that perfectly obey God, we automatically, our gaze is lifted to God. And we feel suddenly so small, but yet so important in the bigger thing. Mm-hmm. We feel part, and so many religions have that. I mean, if you look at Hinduism and Buddhism, that's what it's all about, is about becoming one with the whole, and nature and our world, our planet is all part of that. And it's so cool, that, you know, there's so many different aspects of this that are pulled from so many different, like, religions, studies, and personal experiences. So, especially during this time of COVID, we encourage you to get outside, to enjoy nature, wherever it is, however you can. Do at least 2 hours of it. It's proven 2 hours is the threshold.
A week, not a day, a week.
A week. And you can spread it out however you want. But that really increases people's health perception and health in general. So please go outside, do that. Yeah, we hope that helped you, and we hope that it somehow interested you and connect, and that you could connect with that and understand that feeling. If you've been outdoors, you probably have experienced that. If you haven't, go outside and experience it and experience what we've been talking about, and what the researchers have been talking about. Highly encourage it.
Yeah, take some time to be outside. And Perry and I are here in Rexburg, and today was the first day of real snow, which I'm so grateful that it's taken this long.
Yeah, honestly.
But I hate the snow.
Oh, you and do?
I hate the snow. I like looking at it when I'm inside and warm. Mm-hmm. I just hate being cold. However, doing this research was a good reminder to me of the importance of being, because, like, for me, when it's sunshiny, right, no problem. Like, yeah. I could live outside easy. But
yeah. Well, hey, Sarah, even with the research that we have looked at, you know, even just looking at it, having a view of nature in some way, you can be inside and have a view of it out of your window, will have an influence on you, and a positive influence on you.
That's true.
Even said having plants around you and having some sort of nature that you can connect with on a daily basis, whether it's plants in pots or whatever, like that can even have a beneficial influence on your life. Hmm. And feel more connected with nature and be positive.
That's
true. So
I should probably still get outside,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, don't be a hermit and put plants everywhere.
Maybe we'll go on a walk in the snow.
Yeah.
I like at nighttime when it snowed and the light reflects off the snow. Very peaceful.
I was just outside actually earlier walking home from being here.
Mm-hmm.
The clouds were going over Rexburg and like they kind of lit up, but they were like super close. There were like a couple clouds that were super close and lit up and white, and like they were like streaking. It was like, oh, as if they were like cut or something, and they were like fading into like fading right over me into like this blackness, right?
Majestic.
It was so weird. And then like these two birds, like these two geese, white geese, flew out of the clouds and lit up and like flew away. And I was like,
am I in a movie?
It's so cool. No, it looked so cool because it was so close. It was like almost like you could stand on top of one of the apartment complexes and touch them.
Oh, I
like,
love
it was
that.
Crazy. It was so cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go out in nature.
See, and I'm just inside, and I didn't get to have that experience. And so we just don't know what experiences are waiting outside for us. So
such an adventure. It's good.
So I'm going to do it. I'm going to get outside even though it's cold. I'm going to do it.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed it. If there's anything that you want to hear about or want to talk about, feel free to reach out to us. We are looking for people to do podcasts with. If you have any interesting insights, we would love to have you on the podcast. Yeah. Till next time, guys.
Till next time. Much love, and we hope you have a rad week. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.